couldn't really control it, right? Nowadays, it's hard to find even a toddler without something to occupy their mind while they're awake. Now, there's a lot of distractions. You need to be the clarifying voice. You need to be that bell that rings through all those things and says what you need is to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need. Right? And whether they agree with it or not, at least they've got it in their heart. At least they've got it there. I heard somebody that gave a testimony one time that somebody had given them the gospel years prior. And it wasn't there was a condition or something was going on in their lives, and it brought that conversation back up. And the Lord saved them. That's the Holy Spirit reaching back and grabbing something that was given to them years ago, bringing it forward and say, hey, remember that? Remember that? Yeah, look at that. Did something with it. You don't know the effect that you giving the gospel will have. Well, I don't think the Lord would save someone like that. That's not faith. That's not even scripturally accurate. There's not one kind of person the Lord wouldn't save. How miserable would it be if it was possible to be the type of person? Short, tall, this kind of sin, that kind of sin. And God would sit there and say, you're automatically excluded. It says for all. All types, all kinds of people. Give them the gospel. You don't know. Now, brother, aren't you giving a series on the doctrine of election on Sunday nights? I am. But you don't know. I don't know, you don't know. Give the gospel. Makes me sad when you hear people do that. Well, the Lord will sort it out. Yeah, who do you think he put on earth to sort that out? You and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's doing his job. What are you doing? Sitting on your hands, getting comfortable? Let's go. Right? We need to take the lost and bring them to the Lord. And I tell you what, sometimes you got to get creative. Sometimes you've got to sit there and you've really got to have at it. You really got to try. Well, I've told them five times. Well, here we go, number six. Right? You got to be that kind of friend that's willing to tear a roof down just to get them in there. Right? If I've got to sit there and take, if I've got to go through the painful process of taking you out to lunch or taking you out to dinner after church just to make sure you get in there, I'll do it. I met somebody one time, they were talking to somebody, like, hey, want to go to church with me? You know what, I can't. My car's not working right. You know what, I don't have a lot of gas. I got to use my gas for work. Oh, no problem, I'll come by and I'll get you. You know, I don't know what I'm doing that day. Got to go grocery shopping. But I tell you what, I'll take you out to lunch and I'll help you grocery shop. All right. That person still attends church, by the way. Pretty sure the Lord saved him. Can't remember all the story. Take the roof off. Take the roof off. Right? I'm not sitting there saying you got to be embattled with them. I'm not saying you got to get red-faced screaming at each other. Don't do that. Don't sit up there and beat them upside the head with a Bible, call them names. Don't get ugly about it. But go the extra mile. Put the effort in. You love them, right? And hey, not just reach them with the gospel. Don't just take them to the Lord with the gospel. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Lord, please save this person. Lord, they've got this horrible need in their life right now. I pray you answer it, but their biggest need is you. Lord, save them. There's this guy, Jim Ashby. Ever since I was a kid. I know you're looking at me, you're a kid. I'm talking 11, 12 years old. Jim Ashby found out my dad was lost. You know what he's done every time I've seen him right up to last year? You know what he's done? He's come over, how's your dad? I'm praying for him. My dad just got on social media. He friended him on social media. Reached out to me, gave me a call. Matt, I just want to let you know I friended your dad on social media. I'm going to be talking to him. All right, Brother Ashby, I appreciate that. Pray for them. And I'll tell you what, for all the people that I love in my life, you know who the first person I'm going to call is if my dad ever turns to Christ? I'm going to call Jim Ashby. I am. I'm going to thank the Lord first. But you better believe that phone's going to be in my hand. Hey, brother, guess what? Pray for people who are lost. Pray for each other's lost ones. We do that a lot here, don't we? I think we do. We bring up the lost. We bring up those that are struggling. That encourages me. And it shows the Lord that it still matters to us. That we still care about not just their salvation, but their needs and their hurts and their desires. And hey, I tell you what, while we're praying for them, if we've got the opportunity to be the answer to their prayer, hey, be the answer to their prayer. Hey, we're having a hard time feeding the kids. All right, which house is yours? All right, no problem. Do that little trick. It's fun. Show up with a whole bunch of groceries. They're right down there. I was sitting there. People were in line. They were paying rent. This is what gets to me. This lady was talking. Her husband had just gotten real ill and passed away. It was really kind of a rough situation. Dementia grabbed a hold of him fast, and he went all the way downhill. And she's sitting there, and she's talking to some of the folks, and they're asking about her husband, because in that community, everybody knew each other. We weren't designated as senior living, but we were majority retired persons, and they talked. That's what they did. Well, how's your husband? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about that. She goes, yeah, we're looking to move out. I lost his Social Security because of this kind of a clerical error, this thing or that. I can't remember all what was going on, but she was struggling. You know what I did? I put that little note in my mind. Little note. I sat there and I told Danielle, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go get her some groceries. And I did. Went out and got her a couple bags of groceries. Folks, I went up to pull up to her house. I was going to drop the groceries off and I was going to run. You know what I found? Bags, bags, bags of groceries. And not just from the same store. Oh, no. There was Meijer bags and Kroger bags and the local grocery store bags. The local deli bags. I mean, it was just... So I sat there, I go, well, somebody ought to tell her that this is going on. So I go over, I knock on her door. She comes to the door, I go, you need to clean all this up. This is a violation. She looks down, ooh! We helped her load everything on up and be the answer to someone's prayer. Everybody that was in there paying rent, they heard that. And I don't know who all did it, but it was a lot of them. All of them sitting there, all right, well, we're going to go take it. Be the answer to someone's prayer. I don't know if she ever made it through all those groceries, but I know how she felt that day. It was all over her face. Hey, listen, I need a ride to church. Hey, listen, you know, we're struggling with this. Our kids need clothes. My husband needs a new suit for a job interview. Hey, let's do that. It don't cost anything. Half the time we got to sit in our houses just collecting dust. Here you go. I get that every now and then. You see on like a community board or something like that. Hey, does anybody have a size 4 of this or a number 12 that? And you know what? I've got a bunch of those. I need to get out of my house. Here you go. No, yeah, by the way, I'd like to invite you to the church over here. Michael Jackman, one of the preachers that we had preach up here, he was going through the church when he first got there. And he found just a bunch of stuff they didn't use anymore. So he got on Facebook, got onto the marketplace, started giving stuff away. And I kid you not, folks, as people would come to get the stuff, he invited them to church. And it worked. People started coming to church. There are people that started going because they picked up an old TV. Still going there. I'm not saying that is some kind of a manipulative marketing ploy. Be the answer to someone's prayer. And by your kindness, they'll see the Lord. That's what we mean by being the light. By your kindness, they'll see the Lord. You stop and you change that tire and you talk like how Dennis talks about the Lord, that's going to spark something. That might annoy him. It might annoy him, right? Creatures of darkness don't like the things of light. I got you. But if the Lord's going to work on them, they're going to pick up on that. Especially if it's genuine. Right? If we're sitting there like some kind of southern manifestation of like a door-to-door Bible salesman. Oh, yes, Lord, sure is good today. Bless the trees, bless the frogs, bless the birds. They're going to see through it. But if you genuinely sit there and say, God's been good to me. I got all day. Don't worry about this. Here we go. I tell you what. I'd like to see you at church sometime. I'll take you to lunch if you guys got time. Show your love. Be the answer to their prayers. Take them to the Lord in any way that you can. By your example, by your integrity, by your kindness and mercy, take them to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, bring them to church. Bring folks to church. When was the last time you pulled up to someone's house to bring them to church? Now, I like this. I'll tease people for this. You know those people that will come to church just because we're having a fellowship? And they bring the Tupperware bowls and take a little something home. I don't care. Come on. Leave your your Tupperware at home, we got it for you. We'll seal it up. Right? But I don't, come on. Now, at first, when I was young, I used to bother me. Well, you only come to get the free food. You know, come on. Maybe the gospel hit you while you're here. What's the worst that will happen? A good conversation? Come on. Get in here. Now, again, I'm not talking about gimmicks. I'm not talking about doing stuff just to get people in the door. You know where I stand on that. I know where you stand on that. We're standing together. But I ain't mad at it. If it happens accidentally, I'm not mad at it. Bring them in. If it's only just for a fellowship. There was a singer from the group Legacy 5, a really beautiful tenor voice is what he had. He hated church. He hated God. He was more of a honky-tonk kind of a guy, but he had a beautiful singing voice. And he'd go around singing in bars and making money. And Frank Siemens was his name. One day his brother invited him to an all-day singing at church. And guess where the Lord saved him? Right there. Preacher got up, gave the gospel during an intermission. Lord saved him that night. Bring them. Amen. Hey, I'm going to a Bible conference. Hey, I'm going to a concert. We're doing this, we're doing that. Bring them. And he even gave that in his testimony. He goes, the only reason why I brought it is because it was a singing, and he knew that I wouldn't go to a church service. That's what he brought me to. Bring them. Show them the light of God while you're doing it. Show some love, show some mercy, show some compassion. Bring people to Christ. Because I tell you what, of all the people that we're going to talk about tonight, they cannot bring themselves. Much like this man sick of the palsy, they're not going to sit there. I mean, the odds are low, unless the Holy Spirit's really stirring on them, the odds are low that they're going to get up from their armchairs on a Thursday night, go to the store, purchase a Bible, sit down at home, and read it themselves. How can they hear unless they have a preacher?
That's right.
And that's not just talking about people like me. That's you.
Amen.
They need someone to give them the gospel. Someone to explain it to them. So let's be that person. Now what about those that are saved? You know, there's many ways that a child of God hurts. Right? The very first one that comes to mind, of course, is illness. And we've got a lot of that. I sat down with the ladies, and we've got a lot of folks that are difficult for me to go visit because they're all by themselves. Let's get some organization there. Show some love. You know, I can come by once, but wouldn't it be better for 2, 3, 4 during the week? Hey, how are you? What are you doing? You doing all right? Can I get this for you? Take that out for you? Let me heat something up. Let me bring you some food. Just some love. Because I tell you what, I'm not a doctor, and I don't think anybody else here is. I know we've got some medical, you know, I got some nurses, and I was bringing on former nurses. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I can't go over, and a lot of doctors can't go over and make people well. Not on the spot like that. But you know what I can do? I can love them through their hurt. I can show up with food. I can show up with blessings. I can show up with flowers. It's been a while since I've done that little trick. It is one of my favorites. Just kind of throw one of the kids out of the car. They run over. They drop the flowers on somebody's porch. And we run out. We call that flower bombing. It's been a while since we've done that. We'll get back to that. But no, you think, well, just love them. Be kind to them. Because you know what? When I'm sick, you know what the last thing I want to do when I'm sick? Ask someone for help. But when's the time you need help the most? When you're sick. And we're all like that. It's not just me. I know that. I know you're like that too. You know, you sit there. Your lawn's a foot high. Your garbage needs to be taken out to the street. Your cupboards are bare. You can't even reach the stove from where you're laying. You need help. But we don't want to bother anybody. Let us be bothered for them. Let us be bothered. Let us take them to the Lord in prayer. Let's go over and put our hands into their need and take care of what's going on. Let's show that kind of faith and show that kind of love. What you need when you're sick is the Lord. You know, we've prayed so often. You know, we've come in and say, hey, listen, the doctors say we're either going to need to do this or going to need to do that. And we sit there, we pray for the work of the doctor's hands. We pray for wisdom and discernment and all that stuff. But what's the number one thing I always want to pray for? But Lord, if it be your will, heal them before they get to the table. Heal them before they need to make that decision with the medicine or not. Lord, take care of this. And more often than not, we've seen that. We've seen that where the solution becomes apparent. They get a whole lot better than what they thought they were. And all of a sudden, it's easier for the doctor. I praise the Lord for that. What they need is the Lord. And it's our job to take them to the Lord. And again, in doing that, we show His love and show His mercy. What about those Christians that are battling? What about those Christians that are battling? Right? They've got issues at home. They've got issues in their family, issues in their job. How do I take a friend who's struggling like that, who's saved? How do I take them to Christ? Well, number one, how far are you from Christ, brother? Sister, where are you in your walk? Are you close to Him or are you not? We've got to address that first. Because whatever you're battling, you've got to approach it in a God-honoring way. Well, now, hold on. You mean we got to every now and then tell someone they're doing something that's not going to be so good for? It's not going to be so good? Yeah. Sometimes love means don't do that. You'll hurt yourself. Don't do that. You'll incur God's correction. Don't do that. You'll make it worse. Yeah, sometimes we need to say that. And folks, come here. Sometimes we need to hear that. Sometimes we need to hear it. Hey, you're messing up. Now we can find all pleasant and flowery ways to put it. Don't put it the way I am because I'm preaching. You get away with more preaching than you do one-on-one. You can't do this at the table over there at Leo's. You can't. Hey, listen, what you're doing there is going to lead to this. See the scripture? You see what they did? You see what David did? You see what Paul did? You see what so-and-so did? You do that. This is what's going to happen. This is what the Bible's... Well, it really offends me that you'd accuse me of that. No, I'm warning you. Right? I'm Nathan here. I'm warning you. Or I'm Nathan here. I'm revealing to you what happens. We need to be that friend. Hey, you're battling. Let me tell you how to battle right. Let me tell you how to fix this biblically. So we take them to the Lord in principle and in practice. Next thing we do, we take them to the Lord. We pray with them. We always pray for each other, don't we? Amen. We pray for each other. But when do we pray with each other? Now, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to pray with you, right? But do you know that it's perfectly okay for you to pray with a fellow church member over their concerns? You better believe it. You know, hey, are you praying for so-and-so? Yeah. Well, good, because I wasn't sure if you were praying for them or not. You know, I talk to them all the time. I go, that's wonderful that you're caring and concerned that I'm praying for them. But are you praying with them? When you're spending all this time with them, are you praying with them? Are you going to the Lord with your friend and encouraging them in prayer and reaching out to the Lord in that same conversation? Are we doing that for each other? Because I tell you what, those are the best kind of friendships. Those are the best kind of friendships. Man, I love that. When it's you and your buddy and you're sat down, you're kneeled down in prayer over either your concern or theirs. You know, I've got friends like that that I can call, and we'll just kind of, hey, you know, I've got this going on, I got that going on. Oh, you know what, brother, I tell you what, I'm going to add that to my prayer request list. And you know what, that kind of reminds me, I've got this happening, that happening. He goes, oh, no. Well, I tell you what, you pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And I go, all right, I'll go first. We'll pray on the phone. We sat there one time, we held open a Tim Hortons down there in Brownstown one time, a friend of mine, just sharing prayer requests and praying for each other. That's a good friendship. You want to walk away with your arm around, that'll do it. Right? That'll put a little strength in your spine. That'll encourage your faith. When it's you and a buddy and you're praying together, both of you, petitioning God for those problems, showing your faith that God's going to answer not just your prayers, but theirs. Oh, take your friends to the Lord. Hey, man, I tell you what, sometimes you need four or five people together praying for something. That's cool, too. Oh, what a wonderful thing to be able to sit there and go to each other, go with each other to the Lord when you're battling with things. Now, how about this? There's another way that we struggle. We struggle with woe, with sorrow. Because I tell you what, sometimes there's just nothing you can do. Right? The Lord did a thing. There's no walking it back. There's no bringing a life back. There's no regrowing a limb. There's no fixing this or that sometimes. It's not about a faith thing. It's not about whether or not God can do a thing. You just know that He's spoken on a subject and that's it. be it loss, grief, whatever have you. So what do? We comfort each other in the presence of the Lord. And let's pray. And you know what? I really don't have anything to pray for. Yeah? But I tell you what. You pray to encourage me, and I'll pray to encourage you. I'll pray for your situation. Let's just talk together. You know, let's go over some scripture. Let me read a little bit to you, a little bit to me. There was this lady at Flat Rock. Her name was Hazel Simonton. She went to a rehab center. She was sick. She goes, you know how you go, you get sick, then you go to the rehab center, and then you get to go home. Well, her neighbor was a paraplegic, and they weren't really taking a lot of care for her because she couldn't push the button a lot. So she had a breathing tube that would get kind of dirty, and they weren't taking care of her. So she goes, Brother Matt, she goes, I hate to bother you, but the pastor's so busy, and I know that you're young and you're not. She didn't put it like that, but that's the gist of it. She goes, would you mind going, reading the Bible to her? And Mrs. Simon, I've never done that before. I don't know anything about that. I don't know. She goes, can you read the Bible? I go, yeah. She goes, can you read the Bible out loud? I go, you know I can. She goes, okay, then you got everything you need to know. And I showed, this was back when strangers could just show up to medical facilities. And I showed up and I sat down and I read to her. Did that for a few weeks. And I tell you what, she needed the encouragement, but you know who walked away encouraged? Me. And she would sit there and she'd get all excited. She'd start making a request. All right, can you read this psalm? Can you read this out of 1 Peter? Just what I want to hear today. What a wonderful, when I first walked in, I didn't know that lady. She wasn't my friend. We didn't grow up together. She wasn't my grandma. I had a blast. Absolute blast. Just sitting there, two people reading the Word of God, just catching on fire. Take people to the Lord that way. Encourage them in the Word. Encourage them in prayer. Because I tell you what, for that lady, I prayed that the Lord would turn her situation around. That the Lord would fill her bank account with money. That the Lord would restore function to her limbs. But I sat there in prayer knowing that He might say no. Well, but what do? You be there every step of the way that you can. Now, sadly, she did end up passing away. But I tell you what, she ran to the Lord after that. I was firmly convinced of her salvation. Of course, you never know. I was firmly convinced of that woman's salvation to hear her talk and the way that she said things. She knew where she was going. And I tell you what, she got to walk at the end of that little conversation. You know who gets to walk away every day realizing the power of having that kind of time in the Word of God with somebody? It's amazing. Right? It feeds you. It feeds them. I mean, think about it. The next time you're with somebody, instead of busting out the Uno cards, take 5-10 minutes. You read a little bit, they read a little bit. See what it does. I'm telling you, I'm not even trying to sales pitch this to you. Do it. Try it. See what it does to your friendships. See what it does to your relationships. See what it does to your marriages. See what it does to your parent-child relationships. Just watch. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Yeah, go to Starbucks. I don't often say go to Starbucks, but go to Starbucks. Find one of those weird people who are sitting there amongst all the poetical type folks. There's always that one person in the far back with a Bible. Go sit down and read with them if they've got the King James. Bring two. Bring two King James just to be sure. No, read. Read with somebody. Bring the hurting to Christ. And I'll tell you what, when you demonstrate your faith, now, here's the thing. You know how I like to daydream. I daydream a little bit about this stuff. And I'm trying to sit here and think about what it would be like in the far back of that house. Right? And I'm patting myself on the back. That I got in. And all these schlubs are outside. And I got in. And I'm watching Christ talk. And there's people that He's teaching. I go, man, this is pretty awesome. And all of a sudden, I start to hear this cracking sound from the roof. That's been the music that's gone along with my study time the last couple days. Just random bangs and echoes from over here. It's pretty fun, right? But could you just imagine little bits of reeds and things are falling down and whatever the roof's made of, it's coming apart and they pull the roof off. And I'm
There was one person who was not surprised in that room, and that was Lord Jesus Christ. Because he knew exactly where he had to be standing for that appointment with that man. He knew it. Everybody else was surprised. The Lord was sitting there going, yeah, about time. That's exactly what I thought they'd be coming. The Lord will see your faith. Now listen, the Lord's going to do what the Lord's going to do. You can't control the Lord, but he does love to see our faith. He does bless our faith. He does. Not only if you give God 20, he'll give you, 20,000. But you show your faith, Lord bless it. Lord bless it. That's what we need. I said, and not just so much to edify the Lord because he's the Lord, but it'll encourage you too to show the Lord and know that the Lord recognizes your faith. Lord, I've got doubts and I've got fears, but this is what you told me to do, so there you go. That'll encourage you. It'll bless the Lord, it'll praise the Lord, it'll show worship to the Lord, it'll show faithfulness to the Lord. He'll like seeing that. He'll like seeing that. Gideon came up to me on, I think it was Monday. He drew me a little picture. Put it on a little piece of paper. Comes over. Look at what I drew. It's you. Look just like me. Where do you want me to put it? I'll put it downstairs by my bed with the other drawing I got. Guess what? I found a little drawing there days prior. Couldn't tell who it was. But every time I saw it and remembered it was there, they were in bed. So I got another bed down there. I got another drawing down there by my bed. Go put it down. I do that. You know, he's telling me about it. To me, I like to think that the stuff that we do is like that to the Lord. It's like that to the Lord. You know what? It might not be frame worthy. You know, the Lord's not going to sit there. It's never, what you do for the Lord may never make it to the book of Acts. But it means something to him. Don't you love him that way? Don't you want to show him? You know, and you may feel, look at what I did. You may feel a little childish, but you're his child, so it's okay. It's okay. Show that love and that respect and that it just that connection with God. Show him your faith. It's the best way to say I love you. Obey him. Bring others to him. It's how you say, Lord, not only do I believe you enough for me, but I believe you enough for the whole Great Commission. I believe you to do the work. I believe you, and I believe that this is what people need, and I can do this in love. You know who else will see it? Your friend will see your faith. And again, this isn't show and tell. This isn't about the show you're putting on. But your testimony matters. We've talked about that a lot. What your faith looks like, what your practice is, your consistency is what other people will see. That was the whole prime and purpose of our men's fellowship devotion. Live in such a way that it educates people around you. Live in such a way that it encourages people around you. Be so intertwined with the Word of God that you're literally preaching as you do things. You're literally showing an example, whether you're sitting or you're standing. And I tell you what, your friend will see that. Right? Driving in a car, tire pops. Oh no, what are we going to do? Never mind, I know what you're going to do. I'll go ahead and bow my head. You know? Oh, no, now listen, we've got this big meeting tomorrow, and we've got to get this report ready and that report ready, and we got to get all the garbage picked up, and we got to do this to that tree, and we got to paint that curb, and oh, we got all these things we're going to do. Matt, what are we going to do first? Never mind. Bring it in. Show it. Demonstrate it. Not for the show, but when you show God your faith and your goal is to show the Lord your faith, your friends will see it. They weren't trying to show off to their friend. They weren't trying to demonstrate something to each other. They're trying to get something done. The best way to get something done is what? Bring it to God. Do it His way. Bring it to Him. Oh, if we were just, if that was our motivation, if that was our desire, oh, the way our relationships would change with each other. If we're that example of what faith should be. You ever hear that one Southern Gospel song, My Name is Lazarus? Greater Vision sings it. And they talk about how all the men, and of course this is a guess, and I don't believe that this is what happened, because I do believe that to drag your buddy through the streets to get to Jesus Christ, crack a roof open and drag him down there, you got to believe it's going to work. But I don't know if this will happen. I think he's too far gone. I really don't know if this will do anything. But then that fourth man said, my name is Lazarus, and let me tell you what he did for me. I don't think that story is real. I think that, I can't remember the name of the guy who writes their songs, but I think he might have bumped his head or he was a little bit sleepy when he wrote it, but it's a funny song. I think all four of those guys knew exactly what they were doing. But I wonder about the guy in the bed, you know? Guys, are you sure? I don't know. Maybe he was like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'll do anything. I don't know what his state of mind was. But I know that he was relying on his friends. I know that he couldn't have done a thing without his friends. Your friends need to see your faith. Because I tell you what, every now and then, don't you waver. Every now and then, don't you struggle. Isn't it good when you got people around you who are being strong to encourage you to hang on to? Isn't that good when you have that? Well, now, wouldn't that also tell us that sometimes you're the guy on the bed, sometimes you're the guy carrying the bed? You need to be that guy carrying the bed for your friend. You need to be that guy who says, well, let's take the roof down. Take the roof down. Are you insane? Yeah, let's take the roof down. I think it'll work. We need guys like that. We need friends like that. And when I say guys, I mean we need friends. We need people. That was a genderless thing, right? Not because it's 2022, but because, ladies, men, we need each other. We need each other. Be the friend who carries the bed. And I'll tell you what. Let me read verse 12 for you again. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Perhaps when you carry your friend to the Lord, you don't have to carry him back. I want to praise the Lord for that. When you get to go to somebody and say, you know what, I was down. Thank you so much for coming over yesterday. I was in a bad way. I tell you what, by that night when I went to sleep, I felt like the Lord and everything he wanted in my life was all of a sudden in focus again. Thank you so much. And that friend didn't have to carry you anymore. I thought about that. He carried off on it. Not only did he have the strength to walk, he had the strength to carry his own bed. And again, daydreaming. Where were the friends? Probably put the roof back on. In my head, like, that would be the perfect solution. They're up on the roof, putting the roof back on, watching their friend carry the bed away. Right? They saw him walk down the street. All right, guys, let's get up on the roof, put this thing back on. And he is. Made it home. How wonderful. It's good to see the Lord answer the prayers of your friends. Now, I've got a buddy right now. He had a hard time for a while. And it just so happened that he had the kind of hard time that me and another friend of his had. And celebrating right now. Lord delivered him. Lord gave him strength. Lord blessed his family. And right now, he's on top of the mountain. He was down in the valley. He's on top of the mountain. I got to have that conversation with the other friend. I said, remember back when we were struggling with this ourselves? Did you ever think that we'd come to the point where we'd be able to sit there and share what the Lord did for us to somebody else? No. Well, isn't it good to see him doing so much better now? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I think we miss so much of what godly friendship is when we don't take those opportunities. To be helped and to help others. To sit there and be the strength to carry the bad. And then to sit back and rejoice when that person's off carrying their own bed. Oh, man, I can't wait to tell Mom and Dad. I can't wait to tell all the people back at the house what he did. Carry this bed on him. So excited. And all of a sudden, the burdens that had to carry him, he was able to carry. And the people that had to carry his burdens for him could watch him carry those away. So that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes you got to bear your buddy's burdens. And then every now and then you get to rejoice as he gets the strength back, or she gets the strength back and she can carry them herself. Now, where does she get that strength? Where does that change happen? That comes from the Lord. Which means you've got to take your friend to the Lord. You've got to. Right? You know how many people are sitting at home watching the Dr. Phil? Is that still on? I don't know. Can you tell how long it's been since I've been in a doctor's waiting room? All right, they're sitting there, they're watching these people that sit on the television, these talk show hosts, and they're like, yeah, let me tell you what I think about life. And it's like, you had a garbage talk show host, you had a garbage
underrated song that makes you a counselor. You know, they're listening to these people, and they're on YouTube, and they're listening to podcasts. Tell me how to live. They're buying the books. Tell me how to live. Tell me how to live. But what you need is to go to God. Now, another encouragement before we're done is you've got to know how to get in there. You've got to know how to get in there. So often I hear this between Christians. You need to trust God. That's all we say. Oh, you got a problem? You got to trust God. Well, what am I supposed to do? Trust God. Yeah, but how? Well, if you don't know, you need to get to church. And they go to church and they sit there and maybe we're not preaching another particular problem for another 3 or 4 years. You better hope they can hang on until I finally get around to it. Right? What are we doing? Hey, listen. I don't know the answers. Let's pray. You know what the Lord tends to do when you do that? When you show devotion to Him, when you show respect to Him, He meets you. Every now and then, I know you do it too. If you're going through something, you're praying, Lord, we're speaking to Him. Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Lord, help me. In the next couple days, when you're reading your Bible, if you get there, you ever find the answer? I know I do. Tell you what, that happened a few weeks ago. Well, I got this thing, I don't know what to do with it. Take this. I mean, I was just flipping through. I said, you know, I haven't read a psalm in a while. Stumbled across the psalm, snapped everything into focus. I know exactly what to do. It's not magic. Don't ask God for things you don't want. Don't ask Him for answers, and then sit there and think that it's some kind of magical coincidence that you found it. It's what the Bible does. What it does. It tells you what to do stuff. Sometimes you don't get it till you're in it. Right? Sometimes you don't get you'll read something. You're like, oh yeah, that's cute, that's nice, that's wonderful. And then you'll get into the thick of something and you go, oh, this was a ladder. This wasn't book, but this was a ladder. I got you. Oh yeah, you sit there and okay, well yeah, that's good advice on how to deal with that. And then when the contention starts at home, you go, oh, there it is. I got you. So that you talk to someone, you're dealing with something at work, or you're dealing with something at the, I don't know, let's say secretary, say whatever, you're out there doing your business. And all of a sudden the temptation hits you. There's that verse pops up in your head you read 3 weeks ago. That's the Holy Spirit. Bring it back. Don't ask for what you don't want that. You better know how to take people to the Lord. Number one, you need prayer, you need the word. And I tell you what, if you're stuck, attach. I know lots of verses. As a matter of fact, it's almost like I'm paid all day to look at verses. Wonderful. Let's get some Bible in there. Let's get some time. And don't just pray for deliverance. If you've got the ability to do it, do it. If you've got the car, if you've got the lunch money, you got whatever, get the help. Well, hold on. I need that for my Zumba class. No. Go buy some groceries. You'll be all right. Alright, just walk up and down the stairs a few times with the milk. Go get it. No. Let's take our prayers to the Lord. Lost.